This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
I was working the typical gas station that you remember from years ago, where the attendants wore the shirts, the matching shirts with the name on the shirt. You may remember this, gas stations don't do this now, but it used to have the name of the owner above the door. You walk in and you see the name of the proprietor. I was working one day, and just a typical day, 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas, a man came in, and very sincere, very distinguished looking, came in and said, "Randy," you know, it was a pretty easy guess since my name was on the shirt. And he said, "I just talked to Mr. Cione, the boss, and told him my dilemma that I have an insurance payment premium that's due today, and I do not have the money. I talked to Mr. Cione, and he told me," he took off his watch, and he said, "he told me that if I would give you my watch as collateral, you would give me $20, and I'll come by Friday when I get paid and give you the $20, and you'll give me my watch back." I didn't blink. I didn't bat an eye. I took the watch, gave him a $20 bill out of the cash register, and I was looking at the watch as he was getting into his car, and I realized, I said, this watch is a carnival watch. It's a junk watch. It's working, but it was so lightweight, and I realized that this was a scam. I ran after him, and I saw the Michigan license plates on the car, so I knew I'd been hit. If you're from Michigan, it's nothing personal. It's just that I just knew that he was from out of state. He wasn't a local resident who knew Mr. Cione. Now, I don't want you to think it was a total loss. Since it was 3 weeks before Christmas, I'm embarrassed to tell you this, but I gave the watch to my 11-year-old brother for Christmas. And I pulled him aside so that my parents didn't hear this. And I said, "I paid $20 for that watch, pal. Take care of this watch." And he said, "I will." And it broke 2 days after Christmas. It stopped working. He hasn't spoken to me since, but nobody likes to be scammed. But let me tell you something that's worse than that. According to Jesus himself, he says, watch out. Don't be scammed. Don't be deceived about people pretending to know when Jesus Christ is going to return or pretending to be Christ himself. It's not going to come up on the screen, but Matthew 24, 36 says this, "No man knows the hour." And then it says, "Not even the angels in heaven." Do you get that? Not even the angels in heaven know the day or the hour when Christ is going to return. So here's what's strange to me. I have met people who claim to know more than the angels. They claim to know more than any man on earth because Jesus said, "No man will know the hour, not even the angels in heaven will know." And yet people claim knowledge above the Lord himself, in a sense. A message about the second coming. Selected verses from Luke 21 as we preach through this book of the Bible. Jesus replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, 'Nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven.'" And then verse 34, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap." Well, a message on the second coming of Christ, simply because that's where we are in the Gospel of Luke, the 21st chapter. God bless you, and listen tomorrow to Cross Hope. And then verse 34, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap." Let me give you a definition real quick here. The word dissipation, you know what it literally means? The headache you get from a hangover. which is interesting to me. That's what the word literally means, a headache, when the person's head hurts from drinking too much, weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. What I'd like to do today is a little different in the sense that my sharing with you about the second coming of Christ are simply going to be the words of Jesus out of this text. I don't feel I can go wrong if I just say, here's what Jesus said. You take it. You interpret it. Rather than say, I think, well, I believe, and I hope this will happen, I'm just going to share with you five statements today from Jesus. First of all, the first one is, I want you to write down, watch out, don't be deceived. When Jesus says, don't be deceived, it implies that there is the possibility of being deceived. Now, that's not earth-shattering logic or anything, it's just what is. When Jesus said, watch out, don't be deceived, it tells me that I have the capacity to be deceived, and get this, so do you. I have the capacity to be fooled, and so do you. Many times in the ministry, I have been, quote unquote, taken by people, con artists who would come to the church looking for financial help. And that's always a tough thing because there are legitimate people and legitimate needs. But sometimes the most legitimate seeming need turns out to be a con. One of my most vivid memories is a young couple that came to the church in Columbus. They had a baby with them. They had Tennessee plates on the car. They said they were just struggling to find a place to stay, and they were trying to find work, and gave me the typical story that you hear, and could I just help them with some money? And I was touched by the fact they had a crying baby there and needed help, and I gave some money to them. And I felt guilty for doing this, but I wrote down the tag number. Felt terrible guilt, and then later on, I even felt guiltier, but I did it anyway. I called the local police chief. I said, could you run a number on the computer for me? He said, sure, what is it? And I gave it to him, and he called me back and said, Randy, guess what? You just aided and abetted a car thief. That car is stolen in Tennessee, and you helped him. God bless you. You know, what a wonderful thing you've done. Well, I had no idea that that's what I had done, but I'd been conned again. I'd been taken. They were car thieves on the run from the law in Tennessee, and I was giving them money. We don't like to be conned, but I had the capacity to be conned. And the problem is spiritually, when people are conned spiritually to believe that Jesus is coming tomorrow. Do any of you remember a book that was out in 1988 called 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Going to Return in 1988? Do any of you remember that? It was a book that made the rounds. I still have a copy somewhere. When I was growing up in my home church, there were 6 to 8 people within my home congregation. They were a self-proclaimed prophecy group, 6 or 8 people. And what they would do, they would go through the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel and the Old Testament and other books of the Bible, and they would set dates for the return of Christ. And you know what they did when the date would come and it didn't happen? What would they do? Somebody say it. Set another date. That's exactly what they would do. Well, this message will continue tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. God bless. Let's bring up the second admonition of Jesus. Don't follow just anyone who claims special knowledge. Don't follow just anyone who claims special knowledge. In Garland, Texas, in 98, there was a group of Taiwanese Christians who not only set a date for Jesus to return, they said Jesus is going to appear on Channel 18 all over the world. In other words, anybody who turns on Channel 18, Jesus will appear on that channel. They were what I would call a Christian cult. Is it possible to have a Christian cult? Sure, absolutely. Just like a Jewish cult, a Christian cult, a Muslim cult. Cult is any group of people that claim exclusive hold on the truth. Cults usually have a guru, a man or woman who says, I've got special knowledge, you follow me. Cults usually claim extra-biblical revelation outside of the Bible, revelation or literature, and say, this is what we follow. And that group said, we have extra special information. The Lord is going to return on such and such a date in 1998, And the date came and went. Nothing happened. Jesus said, don't follow just anyone who claims special knowledge. And people tend to follow people who claim to have special information or special knowledge. That may be okay with vitamins or books about your health in a sense. But let me tell you this, you can't do that with the second coming of Christ. Jesus said, don't just follow anyone who claims special knowledge. I want to bring up the third one. Don't be frightened. That's interesting. Jesus said, don't be afraid of what's going to happen. There's the possibility, I think, of people living in fear. And I really believe in this passage, you're going to find out, you're either a slave to fear or a slave to hedonism. I'll talk about that in a minute, what that means. Most people in the United States of America are slaves to fear or slaves to hedonism. Let's talk about the fear. They're so fearful of when Jesus is going to return. They're so fearful of any sign of his coming that they live in with this deep anxiety over the Lord's return. You have the word of Jesus himself who said, don't be afraid about it. Don't be worked up about it. You just trust the Lord. You do what's right. And I read from the Apostle Paul's words to Titus, do what's right. Live a life that says no to the ungodliness of this age, but continue to do good. That's the best admonition I know to give people. We don't live in fear of the second coming. We live in trust of the one who said he's coming back. Let's bring up the fourth one. Don't be weighed down with bad habits and anxiety. That's an interesting phrase that Jesus uses. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. To be weighed down, I found out, can mean to be overcharged. You ever been overcharged for something you bought? Ever paid too much for something and found out later when you looked at your receipt? Well, we can be overcharged with dissipation, with hedonism, which means the pursuit of pleasure. And probably the reason that alcohol is mentioned in drunkenness, people say, well, why would Jesus mention that? Because that was the common problem of the day, to be honest with you. There were no movies. There was no pornography. There was none of the things that are available to people today. And to be put it very blunt, getting drunk was the main sin of the day, probably, for the average person. And Jesus said, don't be weighed down with dissipation, the headaches that come from hangovers and drunkenness and the anxieties of life. What did he say to do in verse 35? For it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Verse 36, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. I want to spend all of the rest of my time on the last one. Let's bring it up. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. The best advice I know to give you about the second coming of Christ is not to try to figure out the date. Don't even try to figure out the year or the month. Just watch and pray. Watch means live in such a way that you're aware that the Lord can return anytime. The Lord can return anytime he wants. And secondly, my responsibility is to pray. Pray for who? For myself, my family, and for the people I love, and to pray for this world. I'm amazed at people who never think to pray for their neighbors to come to Christ. Never. It's never entered the mind of probably the average Christian in the United States of America to pray for their neighbors. It's never entered the mind of millions of Christians in the United States to pray for their extended families, to watch and pray for what? That people will be ready. My job is not to figure out when Christ is going to return. My job is to get people ready. And that's your job. Your job is not to figure out dates. It's to set a date on the calendar for the return of Christ. It's to help people you know and love to be ready along with you. George Furrow was an author who writes about a psychiatrist that he knew during World War II that was in a concentration camp. He's a Jewish psychiatrist. He's in this prison camp during the war. And being a psychiatrist, he looked at his experience in a clinical way, tried to take notes of the experiences of what it was like being a prisoner himself, as well as being a doctor, observing how other people dealt with it. He made some interesting observations. The doctor said, I noticed there were two types of people in the prison. Two types of people. There were those who constantly talked about the past both good and bad. They obsessed about it. They complained about it. They complained about their families, how they didn't get a fair deal in life. They talked constantly about the bad situations, the bad things that happened to them in their past. And then he said there were the other group of people that talked about the future, which I thought was interesting. When I get out of here, God willing, I'll be back with my family. I'll be able to start over again. My career, I will renew my business. Now, here's the observation. He said the people that dwelled on the past, by and large, were the people that died in the camp. Exceptions, sure there were. But by and large, he said the people that obsessed over the past were the people who died in the camps. But the people who looked to the future and looked for what hope they had about the future, those were the people who lived. I think you know where I'm going with this. The thing that can help you look toward the future is not a future job, a future degree, a future house, a future this or that. What you need to look forward to is that someday the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming back to claim his own, and that's me, and that's you. And that should be the motivation, according to Paul and Titus, for everything we do. Why can I say no to ungodliness? Because Jesus is coming back. How can I look forward to living even in a dying world? Because Jesus is coming back. How can I continue on keeping on with my job? Because Jesus is coming back. How can we keep on raising our family? Because Jesus is coming back. It enables and empowers us to do everything we need to do and we're supposed to do, not by obsessing over the past, but by looking forward to the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back. Well, I want you to hear a powerful concluding story tomorrow on Cross Hope, told by Ravi Zacharias. It's a great story. I don't want you to miss it. Our website is crosshope.org. If you've never looked at our website, we'd like for you to do that today. Look at our website. Look at a feature called Visual Stories, a piece of our website that produces a great deal of response on crosshope.org. I have never ceased to be amazed at how one speaker impresses me over and over every time I hear him. His name is Ravi Zacharias. I quoted him recently. I want you to listen to one of my favorite stories that he tells, true story. Ravi travels all over the world speaking on college and university campuses. Ravi Zacharias was speaking at a particular university, and a couple came up to him, a middle-aged couple, and they said, "We know you're busy. We know you've got a schedule, and that you're scheduled to speak here every day at our university in our town, but we have got to talk with you. I mean, if there is any way we can talk to you, we'd love to come and get you and bring you to our home for dinner, and we'll bring you back. Will you do that?" Ravi said oftentimes he wouldn't do that, but he did in this case. The couple came, picked him up at the university. They took him to their home. And Ravi said, maybe you've experienced this, he said the couple seemed extremely nervous while he was there. They were gracious and friendly, but they kept looking at one another. They kept looking at the clock. They kept looking at him, taking these furtive glances during dinner and then looking away. And he said, "Something's up here. There's something uncomfortable I'm feeling." And finally, it all came to light when the husband said to Ravi, will you come outside with me in the backyard? I want to talk to you privately." And here's what he said. He said, "Some time ago, our son was killed in an automobile accident. For a long time, Ravi," he said, "I was not able to get over my son's death. There had been many things going on in his life that I wish we could have talked about, but I never did. And here's what the father said. I agonized for months over the opportunities that are now lost forever." Listen to that again. "I've agonized for months over the opportunities that are now lost forever." That's a word for somebody today. Don't waste opportunities with your loved ones so that later you regret, I've lost those opportunities forever. And then he told this remarkable story. He said, "Ravi, I went into my son's room one day after his death, or several days after his death. I was going on a business trip in the car, and I just happened to notice a cassette tape of some of the music that my son recorded off the radio. He wasn't prepared for what he was about to hear. He put the tape in the car, was listening to the music, driving down the expressway, and then all of a sudden, the music stopped. All of a sudden, he hears his son's voice on the tape. Right in the middle of this music, his son is talking. His son, he found out later, recorded this 3 weeks before the accident. And the son on the tape said this, I just want to share with who's listening what's happened in my life. How I was at the university, and he named the university where he attended, and a man named Ravi Zacharias came to share the claims of Christ, and I have given Jesus Christ control of my life, and I've acknowledged him as the Lord of my life. Now I want you to listen to what Ravi Zacharias said about that incident. How consoling a voice can be, especially if it is a voice that we long to hear, speaking about things profound and personal. Listen to that again. How consoling a voice can be, especially if it is a voice we long to hear, speaking of things profound and personal. I want to suggest to you this morning, as melodramatic as this may sound, you heard the voice of Christ today, not mine. But you heard the words of Jesus today that said what? Watch out, be on your guard, don't be conned, don't be deceived, for many will come in my name saying, I am he. Many will come in my name saying, the time is near. Do not follow them. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Don't be weighed down with the anxieties and the dissipation and the drunkenness of life. Don't be a slave to fear or to hedonism. But live your life in such a way that you're ready. You're ready for the Lord to come.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.